this podcast about the origins of team management systems, I asked Dick McCann to tell us about the early days of TMS and how he and Charles first met.
Charles and I met up, I guess it must have been over 25 years ago now, when he had emigrated from the UK to take up an academic position at Queensland University. And I'd returned to Brisbane after a career at British Petroleum, Sydney University, and then working as a management consultant. And both of us had very similar interests. In particular, we'd worked with lots of teams, and it had amazed both of us when you could take two different teams composed of essentially the same levels of ability in the people there, but yet one team would work really well together, they'd coordinate, they'd integrate, they'd achieve great heights, whereas the other team was just destructive, conflict would break out, and the great potential they had came to nothing. And really, we wanted to answer the question, why is this so? Why does this happen? Because we thought, well, if we could develop a reliable and accurate model to explain this, just think of how many people we could help. So we moved on then to looking at, well, a good starting point would be, what is teamwork? What are the essential critical elements that make the difference between a high-performing team and an ordinary-performing team? So we spent some time going around interviewing and talking with hundreds of managers all over the world to find out what were the essential activities that must go on in a team if it's to be successful. And this led us to the development of the model, which is called the types of work model, or sometimes the types of work wheel. And this identifies the 8 critical elements of teamwork that we found were essential if teams were to be high performing. We can briefly look at these, starting in the green area, in the area of advising. This is the task basically focused on gathering information. You know, you can't make good decisions unless you've got the right information. So a starting point for good teamwork is gathering the right information. Then moving into the area next to that, it's innovating. And these days, in order to survive, we've always got to be thinking up new ideas. You can't keep on doing what you've always been doing. You've got to innovate. And this means gathering the latest ideas and seeing how they can be put into practice. The next one that was essential for teamwork was promoting. It's one thing to have the ideas, but unless you can promote them to key people in the company, to other stakeholders, then these ideas are never going to see the light of day. So promoting seemed to be an essential element. Ideas need to be developed as well. And this was the fourth area. We need to give those ideas the practical twist so they've got a good chance of being successful in practice. We've also got to concentrate on organizing in a team. If teams are disorganized, everyone goes off in the wrong directions. We don't have the right resources. Nobody knows what they have to do or when they have to do it. And many a team has failed because of this lack of this key essential activity. Producing was the next area. This is delivering outputs on a regular basis to budget, to key performance indicators, to high levels of quality on a regular basis. In fact, if you don't produce, you don't have an output from the team. We also identified inspecting as being very important, and this is focusing on the detailed elements such as finance, legal aspects, safety, all the figures that make the difference between a team being on top of a situation and letting it just all evaporate. And the last key activity we identified was one called maintaining. You know, teams can get to a certain level, but unless they maintain their performance, it tends to whittle away. So we've really got to put an effort into upholding and maintaining the right way of doing things, making sure that we're always in a peak performance mode. And this was eventually characterized as the maintaining area. So this became the 8 key activities: advising, innovating, promoting, developing, organizing, producing, inspecting, and maintaining. But we also identified a 9th area, which had lots of things in common with these 8 areas, and this we eventually called linking. And this was all about coordinating and integrating the activities together. You could have someone that focused on organizing, but unless they did that in a linking way, they'd be criticized as being, I don't know, Attila the Hun or someone who thought only about their own needs. Likewise, you could have someone who focused on the inspecting, but unless they linked through to the rest of the team, then they could be accused of being a police interrogator, and the team would fall over through that lack of linking. So these eight key areas, combined with linking, eventually became the types of work model or the types of work wheel.
So you came up with a model that measured the critical functions in a team. But how did this lead to the idea of work preferences?
Well, in looking at the critical activities that go on in a team, what we found is that not everybody actually enjoyed doing all of those eight types of work functions. I'm a classic case, I guess. When I first started working, well, I was a chemical engineer, and in the first job I had, I used to spend hours sitting over a drawing board drawing the most intricate, detailed designs of pumps and heat exchangers. If I drew one pump, I must have drawn up 100 of them. And I found the job pretty boring, and in fact, I wasn't at the organization long before I used to get all the Saturday papers and, is there another job? Is there something better that I could do? The company, I guess, knew something about my preferences because they persuaded me to move to head office, and I moved into the planning department and in a job in management science, really. It was involved going around meeting lots of people, solving a whole variety of problems. In my first job, when I woke up on a Monday morning, I thought, oh God, not another day's work to do. And when 5 o'clock came, I'd race out the door. But when I moved to head office and was engaged in something I really enjoyed, I'd work back until 6 o'clock, sometimes 7 o'clock. And when Monday morning came along, I'd jump out of bed and say, thank goodness the weekend's over. Now I can get back to work. Well, that is a bit of an exaggeration, but you get the idea that when people enjoy something, they put so much more effort into it. And we discovered that all over the place. Some people really enjoy promoting. Some people really enjoy inspecting. Some people enjoy organizing. And so Charles and I thought, well, wouldn't that be good if we could identify someone's preferences? Because that would enable us to have a great overlap in assigning work in a team.
You have been listening to a Team Management Systems podcast. For further information, please visit our website, tmsworldwide.com.